don't see Candace here. She didn't call, so, okay. So, that's okay. We're, I want to start off with a little math. Everybody ready for some math?
Yes, I love math.
All right.
You got one nerd in the room. So is that.
All right. So we're gonna look at a graph here. Graph is gonna be like this. We got another graph. If this works. It can, no, that doesn't work. Do this. You may have seen graphs like this.
Yes, I've seen graphs.
We'll just say this is time. We'll call this how's that look? Time and emphasis. Okay, so we're going to be talking about Jesus, the events leading up to the crucifixion. We're still talking about that, okay? And we're going to look at what Jesus is emphasizing, all right? What is Jesus emphasizing? He's talking to his disciples. Things are going on. What is Jesus focusing on? All right, you can write focus on there if you wanted to. And we're going to find that there's one thing that he focuses on a good bit early on, all right? And then that decreases. And the other thing that he didn't focus on quite as much at the beginning, all right, at the earlier time, it gets greater. He emphasizes it more and more. Okay, so we're going to see if we can figure out what those things are as we go along, okay? So, we were talking about the foot washing. We're still in foot washing. We're still in foot washing mode, folks. We are still doing that. Jesus washed his disciples' feet. We're all familiar with that, right? Last week we talked about how it started actually in Jericho when John and James wanted to be sitting at his right hand and his left hand, right? They wanted the higher places, and they wanted to be over all the other disciples, and all the other disciples got indignant, and, you know, I don't like that. And so he started this whole foot washing thing, right, to teach them, wait a minute, that this is not the way it's supposed to be in the kingdom, in my kingdom. It's a different thing in my kingdom, okay? So we're going to look at this. Let's see here. So we left off, and I'm going to read just a couple of verses here. Maybe three. It says, Jesus, this is during supper. It says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and this is in John 13, 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Okay, we read that last week. And so now we're going to read the next verse, 6. Finally get into foot washing. All right. He came to Simon Peter and said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? Are you going to wash my feet? I mean, you're my Lord. You're my Lord. Are you going to wash my feet? That's not right. You can hear Peter say, that's not right for you to wash my feet. You're my Lord. And Jesus answered him, what I am doing, you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand. See, Jesus told the disciples a lot of things they didn't get at that time. But later on, they did. Okay? Remember, he told them when he was in Jericho, he says, the Son of Man is going up to Jerusalem, and if they're going to do what they want to with him, you know, the folks there, the leaders up there are going to do it, and they'll crucify him. But it was just like, it just went right over their heads. They just didn't get it, right? They didn't get it at that time. You ever talk to someone, you know, that, you know, it seems like whenever you speak into this ear, it just goes out the other one, and there's nothing to stop it in between, you know? You know, it's a sad thing. It's a sad thing. A muffin one time, we were down at my parents' house, and their friends were over, and the lady there just had all kinds of problems with her body, and she was talking about them, you know, and she'd been talking to Muffin, I guess, in the kitchen or something. And they walked in, and Muffin was telling her scriptures. Scriptures for healing that would help her so she wouldn't have to be sick. And it was just like Muffin had said, oh, how you doing? You know, it's like she didn't even hear what Muffin said. Mm-hmm. She just kept talking about what she was talking about. And it was like, it just doesn't, it's not clicking. It's not getting in through. It didn't ever get through to her, you know. So this is what Jesus is experiencing, you know. He's talking, but it's just going, it's just, it's not hitting anything and stopping. It just keeps going, you know. So anyway, so Peter came back to him. He said, you shall never wash my feet. You're my Lord. It's not right for you to wash my feet and be my servant. Nope, that's just not right. You will never wash my feet. All right? Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no share with me. You have no portion with me. Where have we heard that word before? Right? Inheritance, right?
Yeah.
He said, you don't have any share with me. You don't even get to be a part of the inheritance that I have. Well, that spoke to Peter, didn't it? So suddenly Peter does his one of his famous flip-flops. Okay. You know, Peter, a flip-flop, won't he? He'll be all the way this way, and then suddenly he'll flip-flop me all the way the other way, right? So here's his famous flip-flop. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. If it's all about having a share, I want it all. Right? Give me more. You see? Give me more. Give me more. If it's about having a portion, if it's about having the inheritance, I'll take more. Give me more. More than you're giving them. Get my hands and my head. I get more that way. Right? I mean, come on. Just, you know. So Peter says, I want a big share of you and your kingdom. So Jesus said to him, the one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you. Okay? For he knew who was to betray him, and that was why he said, not all of you are clean. Okay? So what we have here is what? He's dealing with what? He's dealing with the disciples' attitude, right? They got a bad attitude, right? He wants to be dealing with something else, but right now, the emphasis is on the disciples and their bad attitude. But what he wants to focus on, he doesn't get to say much about, is what? Yeah, his impending death. Mm-hmm. Yeah, his impending death. What he told him in Jericho. Went right over, right past him. Here he says it again, right? And you are clean, but not every one of you.
Yeah.
Right? So he sticks that in. Because that's what's on his mind. That's really what he wants to talk about. But he's having to deal with their attitude right now.
Yeah.
You see that? Yeah.
He had to deal with that because one of the writers said they had strife among them. And the best time to deal with strife is right then. And if you don't deal with it, it would have shipwrecked off. It wouldn't have been a day of Pentecost because one been sitting there saying, you're not going to be over me. Mm-hmm. I mean, Peter, you always try to lead, and we're not going to have it. You know. So he had to get the strife out.
When you said an abomination to him was sowing strife among the brethren.
Yeah.
That it's an abomination. If you look that word up, the other things that he considers an abomination, that kind of scared me. If you put that on the same level as these other horrible,
it's serious.
Yeah, it's really serious.
So here he is. He's talking to him, right? He's telling Peter, you know, hey, I got to wash you. You don't have any part. The point he's trying to make just goes right on past Peter. You know, hey, I want to be all of you then. You know, it's just, Peter, you're just not getting it, you know. So anyway, let's go on. It says, when he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, do you understand what I have done to you? Now, if he had stopped there, he would have got a big silence. And he may have, you know. I mean, this roaring silence, thundering silence. Huh? He says, you call me Father and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done to you. Okay? Here's the example. Alright? This is what I'm trying to teach you. You ought to be washing one another's feet rather than trying to be lording over your brother. You ought to be getting under the brother and washing their feet, being servant, being lowly. How about Dick? Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Okay? Since if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. All right, wow. Blessed are you if you do these things. That's a big thing. All right? Remember the blessings, the Beatitudes? Blessed are the meek, blessed are the pure in heart, blessed are the peacemakers. All those things have wonderful, wonderful rewards. And he's putting this in the same category. Blessed are you if you do these things, right? If you do what I have done for you, if you use me as an example, and make yourself a servant, nothing is too menial for you to do.
Amen.
For someone else, then you'll be blessed.
Washing somebody's feet is about to equate it to washing a toilet.
Washing a what?
Washing one's feet back then was the same equate as washing a toilet. Because they wore sandals most of the time. And they all of the feces from all the animals that they run.
Oh, that's good. That's
instead,
good.
Now you're talking, brother.
That's good.
It's true.
Washing a toilet. Yeah. Okay, I got
this
you.
It's
yeah.
equated to.
Clean the toilet bowl. Yeah.
That's here's one thing that I really had to quit myself doing. I put myself in Peter's shoes without the Holy Ghost too, okay? How would I act when Jesus is humbling himself before me?
Right.
And I know who he is. And would I say the same thing? Lord, you're not washing my feet.
Yeah.
You're not going to take and wash that toilet out. I'll do it.
Yeah. That's good. That's very good.
How would I act to him? I need to put myself in their shoes. What about strife? The Holy Ghost had not come yet too. What about strife? Strife could have been easily brought in because men and women are competitive. They want to be on top, especially when they're around somebody with such authority.
Yeah. That's good.
That's good preaching right there.
That's good. That's good.
This must be church.
Okay, well, let's see. Let me jump down to verse 34. That was verse 17. He's saying, I'm giving you an example that you should do just as I have done to you. So now jumping down to verse 34, and I'll tell you later why we're skipping all this, because I want to make a point here. He says, he's still talking to them, all right? He says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. Right? Just as I have loved you, go back up to 15, just as I have done to you. You see the similar phrasing there? You do what I've been doing. Love one another as I have loved you. Make yourself a servant. Latrine duty is not too bad for the servant of God, right? He says, by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Now, I just skipped down from 17 to 34 to say that, right? Why did I skip down? What did I leave out? I left out the green. I left out the emphasis that he was trying to put on his death. Yep. All right? Because all of that from 18 to 33, he's talking about, I'm going away. Mm-hmm. I'm going to die.
Yeah, right.
Someone's going to betray me. Mm-hmm. All of that. That's what really he wants to talk about. You see? But he has to talk about this other stuff just to make sure they get it. Mm-hmm. Right? Just to make sure they get it. You've got to love one another. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples. Man, you're a witness to the world, folks. You've got to get this. You're the witness to the world. They got to know the love of God from you.
Amen.
And if you don't get this, how are they going to know the love of God? And why do so many people not know the love of God these days? They're not seeing it, you see, in the church.
That's true. It's still in the church today. People are bickering between each other, you know, and it don't bring forth that unity because they just, the least little thing, just some of the things I've heard people just, well, she said this about me, and I don't like her, and this and that, and I'm like, get over it.
Amen.
Look at Jesus. Get your eyes off of what she said. What did Jesus say? But, instead of them taking care of it, they're just moved to another place where they're going to find another person in their life, you know, they're going to do the same thing, and they just keep moving.
Yeah, yeah.
And the enemy loves that. He brings people in to do that very thing.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know what happens, you know, talk about church hoppers, you know, you hop from one church to another church, you know, and you find this church has got a problem in it. So you leave that church and go to another church, and before long you find out this church got the same problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so you leave that church, you go to another church, and this church has got the same problem. And it never occurs to them, well, maybe you're taking a problem with you. Oh, maybe the church is not a problem. Maybe it's me. You know, so we don't always do that. But I just want you to notice that Jesus wanted to talk about what he wanted to talk about, right? But he put that aside. It was important for him to talk about his death and what's coming up.
Right.
Because he had to tell them about the Holy Spirit. Yeah, he wanted to make sure, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to, you know, you're going to have the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to be dead. I'm going to come back, right? But he had to stop and put what he wanted to talk about aside and deal with this other. And sometimes that's what we have to do.
Yeah.
Sometimes we have to put aside what we want to talk about, what we know is important. It is important. But we have to do that to help someone else grasp hold of the truth.
That's good, Ray, because sometimes we overlook that and it creates an even worse problem. But, that's real good.
So y'all think about this during this week. The people that you're mentoring, the people that you're influencing, just keep that in mind. If they're just not getting it, sometimes you just have to take another step. Do another example. Wash your feet, so to speak, you know. And see what you can do to help them understand, right? And don't get too upset about it, because you can't talk about what you really need to talk to about with them. Yeah, good.
And you know, he showed up, I'll only know you're my disciple if you love one another. I was just thinking, you can't love a disciple without knowing the Lord like you're supposed to. I assume this is agape. I don't know what the love is. But anyway, because you spend time with Jesus and receive his love and fall in love with him, you will do little things, but also the greater work will manifest because you love each other. Mm-hmm. You want everybody healed. You want to receive prosperity where people can be taken care of. You Amen. Want people born again. Yeah. So it all keys from the love of God. And as you walk in that love and practice that love and develop that love, but it all comes to the fellowship, with God, the communion, the person would say. When you fall in love with Jesus and you continue that way and you put Him first in your life, that love becomes such a part of it, and the gifts just automatically happen.
We love because He first loved us.
Yes, amen. That's good.
Exactly. That's exactly what John said. So, all right. Well, let's pray. I think the food's here. Father, thank You so much for loving us and giving us Your Word, Father, Your truth. Yes. We can walk in, we can grasp hold, we can embrace it and pour it to ourselves. And we can walk in Your truth and in Your ways. Father, bless the food today. Bless everyone speaking the Word of God today, that he may speak the truth with boldness and with confidence, Father, and that people may have hearing ears, that they may listen, be attentive to, and embrace the truth that they hear. We thank You, Father. Amen.
Amen.
All right.